Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate the most important week in history, Holy Week, and it starts off with the most important parade of all time, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. You know the scene, you've read the text, you've seen the pictures, the streets lined with people, people waving palms and laying down their cloaks on the road, shouting Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna means save us. Most importantly, there's Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It's the true King of Israel. Entering into the city of kings, the city of the great kings, King David and King Solomon. And there, people hoping that this king is a combination of both of them, the power and might of David, combined with the wisdom and glory of Solomon. Surely, this king is here to conquer the Romans and return the glory and the wealth and the power back to Israel. But Jesus is not that kind of king. He's not a king that seeks glory or riches or power. He is the humble king who comes not to destroy, but to give life. Let me share with you four ways Jesus is the humble king, the king of humility. Number one, his transportation, a donkey's colt. First of all, there's his form of transportation. Jesus sends two of his disciples ahead in order to get Jesus his transportation, his ride, so to speak. Jesus tells them that when they enter the village, they will see a colt, the foal of a donkey that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, the Lord has need of it. Jesus clearly identifies himself as far more than just a prophet. He is the Lord. He is God in the flesh. As the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he could have chosen any sort of transportation for his entry into Jerusalem. He could have picked a mighty war horse or maybe a war elephant. Or even better, an olifant. Or he could have picked this bad boy right here in this picture, the 2025 Harley-Davidson CVO Road Glider. This bike is the most powerful motorcycle that Harley-Davidson makes. It's 153 horsepower and generates 150 pound-foot of torque, pound per foot of torque, whatever that means. I'm pretty sure it means it's really powerful, and I bet it goes really, really fast. This beautiful bike can be yours for the low, low price of just $110,000. Now, Jesus would have looked great coming in Jerusalem on this bike, and that would have been perfect. And, I mean, just think of what the engine noise it would have been. It would have been phenomenal. This would have been perfect. It would have shown his power and his glory as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But this is not what Jesus chose. Jesus doesn't choose the 153 horsepower motorcycle. He chooses the smallest animal he can find that can possibly support him. Not a donkey, a baby donkey, the smallest that could hold him. It doesn't have 153 horsepower. It doesn't even have one horsepower. It might have half a horsepower. But it's the steed, the ride, the transport that the King of Kings chooses to take him into the city in order that he might begin the most important week of all time. See, your king comes to you humbly, riding on a donkey, just like Zechariah prophesied, on a colt, the foal of a donkey, a ride fit for the humble king. Second thing that shows his humility, the crown, a crown of thorns. Now, when you think of the power and the glory of a king, you think of a crown. Every king has a crown, and the more spectacular the crown, the better. Crowns are meant to be ostentatious. They are meant to show off. They are meant to get attention. Now, when many people think of a crown, they think of this one. It's probably the second most famous crown in the world. It's called St. Edward's Crown. It's used to crown the British king or queen on their coronation day every time since 1661. Most recently for King Charles's coronation in 2023. So every king or queen since 1661 has been crowned with St. Edward's Crown at his or her coronation. And it's an amazing crown. Frame is 5 pounds of solid gold. The jewels on this crown make it absolutely priceless. It's beautiful. It's rich. It really communicates the power and glory of a king. It's a beautiful crown, but as I said, it's probably the second most famous crown in history. The most famous crown is this, the crown of thorns, the crown that Jesus, the King of Kings, chose to wear. You know, there are no accidents in Holy Week. Everything that happens is part of God's plan. Everything that happens is Jesus' own choice. Jesus wanted to ride in on a Harley, he could have rode a Harley. If Jesus had chosen to wear St. Edward's crown, he could have worn St. Edward's crown. Instead, he chooses to wear a crown of thorns, Matthew describes it for us. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. It wasn't enough that the Romans were going to kill Jesus. They wanted to humiliate him first. They put a scarlet robe on him, giving him his royal robe, so to speak. They put a stick in his hand for a scepter and twisted a crown of thorns for his head. It's not a crown of comfort, not one to show off his power and glory. It is a crown of pain and suffering because he is taking our sin and our suffering upon himself. Thorns have been a symbol of sin since Genesis 3. The ground will produce thorns and thistles for you. That's the curse God pronounces on the land. Jesus is wearing our sins upon his head. The crown is shameful and it is painful and it is uncomfortable. And it is the crown of kings. It is the crown the King of Kings chooses to wear. The crown of our humble king. Number three, Jesus chooses for his throne a cross. Let's talk about thrones. Every king has a throne. Again, thrones are meant to be luxurious and comfortable, but most importantly, impressive. They are to communicate the glory and power of the king. Now, this is the Danish throne room. This is the throne used in Denmark since 1671 to crown their kings and queens. It's made of supposedly the horns of unicorns. Well, it's made of ivory anyway. And guarded by three life-size silver lions weighing 300 pounds each. It's truly spectacular and impressive to be in. It's based, by the way, on the throne room of Solomon, described in 1 Kings 10. We've been talking about Solomon. He also had a throne made out of ivory, and his throne was guarded by 14 lions, symbolizing his power and authority. Now, those are the kind of thrones fit for a king. You've got lions, you've got gold, you've got ivory, you've got everything you need to impress people with. But Jesus doesn't pick a throne made of gold or beautiful ivory. His kind of throne is made of wood. Not nice wood, junk wood from the scrap pile. And his throne is fashioned in the shape of a cross. And he's not surrounded by a bunch of lions. He's surrounded by people mocking him. He's nailed to a throne, to his throne at a place called, well, in Hebrew it's called Golgotha. In Latin it's called Calvary. And in English, it's just called the skull. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. But it's here, on this cross, on his chosen throne, that Jesus is truly declared to be the king. Not by his disciples, by his enemies. Above his head, posted by Pontius Pilate, written in Latin, Greek, and Aramaic so everyone could read it, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. It's written in every language because the message of Jesus as our king is for everybody. And that's our message. Jesus is King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the humble king, but most importantly, he is your king, the king who wants to rule in your life. He truly is the king. His transportation is a donkey. His crown is thorns. His throne is a cross. And his mission is sacrifice. To sacrifice himself to save the world. And that's number four. We can't forget the timing of Jesus' entry. Where Jesus is coming in is the city, of course, the city of David and Solomon, the city of the great kings of Judea. He is definitely entering into the right place, but he's doing it on a very important day at a very important time. This is a very important week. It's Passover week. It is the Sunday before the Passover. The Sunday before the Passover is Lamb Selection Day, the day when every Jewish family would choose a lamb for the sacrifice later that week. 4 days before the feast, they were to choose a special kind of lamb, a spotless lamb without blemish or defect. That's why Jesus chooses this day to come riding into Jerusalem. He's not entering just as a king. He's not just entering as the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. He is all of those things. But most especially, he comes to present himself to his people as a sacrificial lamb, the true Lamb of God. As John prophesied at the beginning of Jesus' ministry 3 years earlier, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is not here to show off. Jesus is not here to get the praise of people on the streets. Jesus is not here to overthrow the Romans. Jesus enters Jerusalem to be the Passover lamb. Jesus is here to pay for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is here to suffer. Jesus is here to die. Jesus is here to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah, written 700 years earlier. Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Amen.